All right. Welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. We will now introduce Denise R. She is a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After she shares, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the program or what she has shared. Please help me welcome Denise R., a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. Welcome, Denise.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, Pat. Thank you for your service. And thanks so much, you guys, for inviting me here to speak. I'm deeply grateful for the opportunity to be of service. Before I get started, I always just like to quote something from page 68 in the Big Book that says, God, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. You know, it's that healthy fear, being a little nervous right before you start talking. I like to also ask God to help me set aside everything I think I know, because when I think I know everything, you know, God has a better plan than mine. So I'm just going to let God take over. I am currently maintaining 112-pound weight loss. My abstinence day is July 17th, 2021. And I wish I could say that's when I joined OA, but that's not the case. Some of you may be familiar with, you know, going in and out and up and down, losing weight, gaining weight all throughout life. That was me. I was very active as a child, so I didn't show a lot of weight when I was younger, but I did have compulsive eating behaviors. You know, my parents every Friday night would, back in the 70s when it was like a big deal, you know, McDonald's was out and they would take this big, you know, McDonald's place for Friday night, and, you know, everybody would get their meal and then we'd get that little hot fudge sundae or whatever afterwards. And I always left there wanting more. I always left there like, that wasn't enough. I need more. You know, we'd go to movie theaters. We'd get the big popcorn with all the candy and stuff mixed in, the sweet, salty, whatever. I'd always want more. I'd always be the one to say, I'll go get more, you know, I'll go get more, you know, whatever. So the compulsive eating was there. And I would say snacks after school. You know, my parents were working, so my older brothers took care of me and my little sister. And man, we would come home after school and, you know, I think most parents would probably have like an after school snack or something. I mean, we just ate the whole house, or I shouldn't say we, I ate the whole house, you know. It was not really monitored very well by my brothers. And of course, when my mom and dad came home from work, it was time for dinner. And, you know, I really didn't want the peas and all the things they were making. I just wanted to go back to the freezer and get the half gallon of ice cream or whatever it was that I was, you know, binging on after school. But because I was very active, I was very athletic. So I danced, I was a gymnast, I was in cheerleading. I was in track for a short period of time, softball for a short period of time. So I was very active. So my weight didn't really show, but I'll tell you, when I got into high school, they had these co-ed cheer squads. You know, nowadays it's very popular, but back in the 80s, it wasn't so popular. It was quite new, where the boys lift the girls in cheerleading. And so I was on the cheer squad, freshman, sophomore, junior, you know, junior year is when you got to try out for varsity. And all of my friends, we all tried out. And they picked two girls to be on that squad. And I was one of the two juniors that got to be on the varsity squad. And I was so excited. And, you know, I was doing all these cool tricks with the boys that would lift me. And I learned all this stuff. Well, the following year, senior year, I basically thought I was a shoo-in because I had been one of the juniors that was picked. There were only two of us. I'm sure, you know, I'll make the squad. Well, senior year came around and all of the senior boys had graduated. So there were all these new boys that didn't know how to lift and didn't know how to do the trick. You know, I wasn't a large girl, but I was very muscular. I was in gymnastics. So I was short and stocky, and I was about 128 pounds, and the boys couldn't lift me. They couldn't lift me. So what I thought was going to be an easy tryout, I actually was pretty devastated when I didn't make the squad. that was the first time my weight had really affected me, because, and I didn't get what I wanted, right? I didn't get what I wanted. I didn't get the attention I wanted. So that was pretty devastating. That was the first time weight became a problem. After high school, I was going to community college. I worked at a daycare. I always volunteered for the kitchen. I'll do the kitchen. I'll cook the meals. You know, I love the days we got to do the mac and cheese and hot dogs and all the fun stuff, because I ate all the leftovers. I ate as I was cooking, right? It's kind of gross, but I even in my classroom, I cleared the, you know, I was with toddlers, and I cleared their plate. When they didn't eat it, I ate it. You know, that's just how I was. Those are the way that my compulsive behaviors kind of showed themselves. Shortly after college, I got married, and my husband and I, we thought, oh, you know what, we're just gonna not plan for a baby. Let's just see what happens. Well, as soon as I went off birth control, I got pregnant. So I thought, oh my gosh, this is the first time in my life I can eat in peace. I don't have to shame myself. I can eat whatever I want. I'm pregnant. I'm eating for two. And boy, did I eat. You'd think you'd want to eat healthy for your baby, but no, I was like McDonald's drive-throughs, eating all those binge foods I ate when I, you know, after school snack type thing. I was eating all of that. And I had no shame, because I was eating for two after all, you know. It was the first time I was like, oh, I can eat whatever I want. As my daughter grew up in our household, I started eating her food, right? Finishing what she didn't finish eating. She'd go trick-or-treating. I'd say to myself, oh, I'm just going to have, you know, my favorite piece of candy of hers as I went through it. And then I'd say, well, I'll take three. Three was my number. Three cookies here, three crackers there. It was never three, because I went in for the three and I'd say, oh no, I meant three of every one of my favorites. And then I'd have, six pieces of candy, and then, or nine pieces of candy. And then I'd say, oh, what I really wanted though was three of my favorite chocolate and then three of my favorite non-chocolate. It was like, I was like talking to myself, but I was trying to control. And so then I'd have, you know, my non-chocolate pieces. Before you know it, my kid's candy was almost gone, you know, because here I am justifying what I'm doing and eating and trying to control. I was standing up in a lot of weddings during that time. You know, when one gets married and starts having kids, your friends are all getting married and start having kids. And so I was crash dieting to get on these, to be able to fit into the gowns that I had to stand up in, or just even go to the wedding. So I was doing the cabbage soup diet and the hard boiled egg diet and the all you can eat banana diet, you know, eat bananas for every meal. I mean, all the crazy, crazy diets. And they worked. They did work sometimes. I would lose the weight, but I always gained it back. I never kept anything on. At some point in time, they stopped working, right? I started having marital problems around 1997, around there. And I ended up going to Al-Anon. And I was there for, I'd say, like 9 years or so. And around 2006, one of my sponsees actually had mentioned OA. And I said, well, what's OA? And she said, well, it's 12-step program, but it's for people that struggle with food. And I was like, oh, huh. And this light bulb went on in my head. I'm like, yeah, I struggle with food. So I decided I was going to go check out an OA meeting. And I went to my first meeting in May of 2006. And like I said, I'd like to say I was recovered from that point on, but you know, that's not my story. So I knew what I had to do, because I came from Al-Anon. So I knew I had to get a sponsor. I had to work the steps, and I had to stay connected to fellows. And so that's what I did. I got a sponsor. I worked the steps, the OA 12 and 12. And I, I started to feel better. I came in at 186 pounds. I got down to about 155. I started, after finishing the steps, I started sponsoring. But my idea of sponsoring was someone asked me to be their sponsor. I said yes. They called every once in a while, but if they stopped calling, you know, I really didn't, like nudge them or call them. I wasn't necessarily taking them through the book or like taking them through the steps. It's like if they call, they call. If they don't, they don't. But I still thought I was their sponsor. You know, I still was like, well, yeah, I'm sponsoring. But of course, you know, today I wouldn't consider that sponsoring. Just when someone asks you, that doesn't mean you're a sponsor unless you're doing the work, unless you're working intensively with someone, right? So I heard about the big book. I mean, I had gotten down to about 155 pounds. I was feeling better, but I think I was treating it more like a diet. And I heard about the big book. in that I went to an OA convention in Chicago, a Region 5 convention, and they had a separate room, breakout room, where someone was going to talk about the big book and do the and talk about the doctor's opinion. So I went to that meeting, and it was the first time I had ever heard the doctor's opinion or anything out of the big book. And wow, that just really opened my eyes. Everything they related to, you know, or I could relate to everything they talked about with food, and the mental twist, you know. So as I was leaving that meeting, they were handing out little business cards, and it said the coffee shop on it. It was a phone meeting. And so I took one of these business cards and I started dialing into this phone meeting every day with my big book and my, you know, pen and paper and taking notes. And I started doing this big book phone meeting, and it was really helpful. So I met someone that's what would be called maybe a big book thumper. And I asked her if she would take me through the steps in the big book, because I had done the OA 12 and 12 steps. I wanted to try them in the big book. So she started taking me through the steps, and it was great. And I you know, was learning a lot, but, you know, she was really strict, or what I thought was very restrictive. She kept putting me back to step one, and I was getting really frustrated. This is around 2012. I had lost weight, and I was at a healthy body weight. In fact, you know, when I was at 128 pounds, which is what I was that senior year of high school, you know, so here I am, you know, in 2012, many years later, feeling like I've arrived, because I've already lost all the weight, you know, I'm doing really well. But she just kept putting me back at step one. We were working on step, I had just finished my step four, and I was just about to give away my step five. I had a piece of cheese or something, and she said, "You're going for the fats. I think we need to go back to step one." And I'm like, "You know what? Just forget it." I quit working with her, because I was like, "I've got this. I can do this myself. I'm skinny already. I don't need to do this with her." And it was at that same time that the phone meeting that I was going to, the people that kind of started it, the founders, were splitting up. And they were splitting up into two different phone meetings. And I was like, I loved them both. And I was like, well, I don't know how to decide who to go to which one. So I was like, you know what? I'm skinny. I don't need this big book thumper. So I quit the big book thumper. I don't need this phone meeting. I quit the phone meeting. I don't need OA. I quit going to OA altogether. I ended up leaving OA for 3 years. From 2012 to 2015, I was gone from OA, and you can only imagine what happened, right? I gained everything and then some back. My highest weight that I know of, because I really wasn't weighing myself very often, my highest weight that I know of was around 236, 238, somewhere around there. I ended up hearing someone, I was gone for those 3 years, but then my home group where I was, you know, originally did that, met my sponsor and did the OA 12 and 12 steps to the OA 12 club. Members from there were texting me, "Denise, come back," you know, because they knew what had happened. They had seen me where I was, and they knew that I had, you know, been gone for so long and gained everything and then some back. And they were texting me, "Please come back. You know, we love you unconditionally." And I said, "I can't come back till I lose weight. I need to go on a diet, because you cannot see me like this." And they said, "Denise, it doesn't matter." The difficult thing is, I tried to diet and I couldn't even diet. I couldn't lose weight. And it just got to the point where I didn't have any choice. I went back. I knew OA was the answer. Here's me. Like, I knew OA was the answer. Not God. I knew OA was the answer. So I went back to the rooms. And I struggled in there for about 7 more years. I really did. I struggled for 7 more years. Why? I was trying to control it myself, doing some controlled eating. I knew the hard work that was going to go into the steps in the big book, and I didn't want to do it. I was lazy. That's the truth. I was lazy because I wanted to do it my way. I was selfish, and I just didn't want to do the work. But I knew what needed to be done. So I sat in those rooms crying, and I don't know, why can't I get a week under my belt? Why can't I only get 3 days, you know? In 2019, 2020, I heard a fellow who was really struggling with, like, one day, like, really hysterically struggling over an almond. Like, she weighed and measured her food, and she was having a crisis over something really small. And I was like, this is crazy. I'm never going to let, like, that obsession with the food scale take over, you know? So I heard her share on a Vision for You meeting, on a phone meeting, and she sounded so clear-headed, she sounded so good, and I was like, that cannot be the same girl that I talked to. And this was years ago. I was like, that can't be the same woman. So I sent her a text. I said, was that you? And she said, yeah, that's me. And I said, what are you doing? And she said, well, I'm, you know, doing this big book workshop through this thing called Recovery Jam. And I was like, oh, wow, cool. So I thought at that point, you know, maybe I should put my number out there on Vision. You know, maybe I'm ready to really think about doing the steps again. So I put my number there out there on Vision. And this was in February of 2021. And I got so many calls, and it was overwhelmed with all the calls and everybody calling that. I couldn't call them all back. It was just too overwhelming. And I saved their names and numbers and some of their voicemails in my phone, but I just couldn't call them all back. I talked to a few. I'd like to say that at that point, I asked someone to take me through the steps and be my sponsor, but I didn't. You know, back in the day when I did go back to that meeting, back to my home group, you know, I was walking around with a big book on my hip, thinking I knew everything. My ego was out to here, right? So that was part of the reason I didn't want to go back. But when I went back, there were people like me there too. And I know that the only way that I was going to recover is if I reached out to someone that was already, you know, telling my story and recovered in a healthy body. So about 6 months later, I didn't do anything after all those people were calling me back from when I put my name and number out there on Vision. But about 6 months later, I was at a pool. It was July of 2021. And I was feeling like a stuffed sausage in my swimsuit. I got to be honest. I was feeling really miserable about myself. I didn't even want to get out of my chair and walk into the pool, because I was hot. I wanted to get in and cool off, but I didn't even want to walk in front of people. I was so embarrassed of my weight, but I did. And I came back to my chair, and lo and behold, there was a text message from one of those people who had left me one of those voicemails from 6 months ago. And she just texted me and she said, hey, you put your name and number out there in February on the phone meeting, and I was just wondering how you're doing. And I couldn't believe that she remembered me from 6 months ago. And I couldn't believe that she texted me and she didn't call me, because had she called me, I wouldn't have picked up the phone. But she sent me a text, and a text is much less invasive. So I decided to respond, and I said, you know, I'm not doing very well. I can't get, you know, 3 days under my belt, you know, maybe 3 days, maybe a week, but I can't get more than that. And she sent me some links to some meetings. And one of those was that big book workshop that fellow had mentioned to me 6 months before. I don't know where the willingness came from. I really don't. But I clicked on that link and I went to that big book workshop, and that is where I met my sponsor. And she asked me, and again, she even said, do you have a sponsor? And I said, kind of, sort of, not really. And she said, well, call me. And I don't know where the willingness came from, but I called her, and she started taking me through the big book, through the steps. And I was just following direction. She told me I was going to be in what she considered a hospitalization period. And that meant I needed to cook my own food. I needed to weigh and measure. I needed to call three fellows a day. I needed to do 30 minutes of prayer meditation and random acts of kindness. And I was like, I got to go buy a food scale. I don't even have a food scale. I've been in OA since 2006. It is now July of 2021, and I didn't even own a food scale. I went and bought a food scale. That's how willing I was. And I cannot tell you where it came from. I just think I hit a life bottom, and I was ready to do something different. I was ready to let God maybe take over. So I went and bought a food scale. I started weighing and measuring my food. I started following direction. Now, one thing she mentioned is, you know, try not to go on vacations or go out to eat and things like that unless you have something committed. So I had a vacation, a family vacation that was already pre-planned. And here it was August. I was still working through the steps, and we weren't supposed to take vacation, but I had gotten permission to go on vacation. She had said, scope out the menus at all the restaurants at the hotel, decide what you're going to eat, and commit it to me every day like you do as if you were home. So that's what I did. I scoped out the menus, you know, sent her what I was eating every day. At one point we talked, and I said, you know, I'm doing good. I'm able to follow my food plan, and with the salad dressing, I'm just taking my fork and, you know, having my dressing on the side and drizzling it over the salad. And she goes, you didn't bring your measuring spoon? And I was like, I didn't think I had to bring my measuring spoons. And she said, well, you need to go buy some. You should have brought your measuring spoons. So I was like, okay, I'll go buy some. Now, mind you, I'm on vacation. I'm thinking to myself, there's, you know, plenty of stores around, but I don't know exactly where they are. My family had plans to do certain things, you know, certain, you know, things, events on the vacation. So I was trying to figure out when I would go buy these. The next day, I totally forgot, blanked out, didn't go to the store. The day after, I remembered, but we had plans, and my plans are more important than measuring spoons, is what I thought. The next day, I just was lazy, and I didn't want to go because we had plans again to do something else. And by that time, I was like, you know what? It's getting later and later, and I'm going to be leaving in 2 days anyway. I have 3 sets of measuring spoons at home. I'm not going to buy them. Well, I was talking to a fellow on my way home who said, you know, you're going to need to get honest and tell your sponsor you didn't follow directions. And I was scared, and I didn't want to, but I did. I called her, and she said to me, you know, Denise, maybe you're not willing to go at any length. Maybe you're not able to follow direction, which means maybe you're not sponsorable. And at that moment, I'm not a crier, but I cried because I realized I finally had made the decision to work these steps and you know, get a recovered sponsor and work with someone again and open the big book and start doing the step work again. And here I was going to lose it because I didn't want to go buy measuring spoons. And I think it was around step 2 or 3 that we were working on. And I realized at that point, like, I'm not in charge. I cannot do this on my own. My selfish behaviors, you know, will take over every time. So I cried, and she told me to sleep on it and call her in the morning. Well, I slept on it. And I called her in the morning and I said, I am willing to do anything and everything. I will do the next right thing, whatever, you know, I will follow direction. So I did. I started to really get into a deeper spiritual place with my higher power and with God. And I believe it was really all kind of intertwined. I started talking to God in the mirror. I did like these mirror meditations, and I would say to God, you know, God, I really don't like my body. I'm short. I'm 5'2", and I carry all my weight in my legs, my lower body. And I said, I hate my legs, God. I hate them. But if these are the legs you want me to have, I'll deal with them. If this is what you want, I'll deal with them. But I hate them. I don't like them. And so I started going about my day. When I first started, actually, I should back up just a sec. When I started working step one with my sponsor, I would see like all the food at the office. They'd have like the donuts and everything out. And I was white knuckling it at first, but I remember my sponsor saying to me in a podcast, something like, be gone, you know, let a house fall on you or something like that. I don't know how she did it, but she talked back to the disease. And so I'd see those things at the office, and I just started talking back to them like, be gone, not having you. You know, I texted my food to my sponsor this morning. I'm not on your team. I'm on God's team. You know, I started kind of talking back to the disease. And so back to when I started working steps 2 and 3, I started really feeling like I needed to turn everything over. You know, even like I said, I didn't like my body. I turned that over to God. I didn't want to get on the scale. I turned it over to God. God, whatever you decide the scale to be, it will be. And I started turning all of that over and asking God to show me where, you know, there's like a mantra my Al-Anon sponsor actually taught me years ago, show me where you are working, God, and I will join you. So I asked God to show me where he wanted me to be of service. You know, even though I was early on in the steps, I wanted to be useful. I wanted to be of service. I can't tell you how many weeks had passed or even months had passed, but I went to the grocery store one day and I was getting out of the car to run into the store just for 5 minutes to run in and get something and bring it back. And I saw someone who was handicapped getting out of their car and getting, you know, their wheelchair down and all that stuff. And by the time I came back out, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes, they were still like not even in the store yet, like getting themselves situated and all that. And I was like, it stopped me in my tracks. And I thought, I just told God not too long ago that I hated my legs. I told God I hated my body. And I just stopped in my tracks and I said, God, I am so sorry. I love my legs. I love that you gave me these legs that I can walk along the Chicago lakefront and see your beautiful earth, you know, your beautiful nature, everything in nature. Like, I just realized right then and there that I needed to turn, you know, my life, my will over to God, but to see all the beauty that God has given me, everything, my attitude just changed from, you know, hating myself and shaming myself to grateful for everything that I have, grateful for my body, grateful for the people that were, you know, touching me in different ways in the fellowship, who were sharing their experience, strength, and hope so I could grow and learn from them. You know, I got to tell you, I didn't like those 3 phone calls that I had to do a day. My sponsor told me to make 3 phone calls a day. I did not like doing that. At first, I was like, no way. I like to be in isolation. I mean, isolation is where I lived for many years. And I got to tell you, as I was working the steps, those 3 phone calls a day really helped me. I needed those fellows to share their experience, strength, and hope on step 4, or, you know, because I was like struggling with, how do I find my part? How do I figure this out? I don't get it. And they would, you know, say to me, you know, this is what I did. And they'd share their experience. And then I started to understand.
5 minutes, Denise.
Thank you so much. So, you know, it was those fellows, that those phone calls that became a lifeline for me. And like I said, my attitude started changing. I just started seeing things where I could be grateful, you know, for everything that God was doing for me. And being useful and having purpose. As I continued on with the steps, you know, I worked on my defects of character after step 4. My sponsor had taught me to make a 8.5 by 11 sheet, and on one side list all my defects, on the other side list the opposite. And I still use that as part of my prayer and meditation today. You know, I still, you know, pray for God to replace my defect with the opposite. And then I make a little index card on the ones that came up in my 10 steps throughout the last couple of weeks. And every 2 weeks, I'll pray for 2 specifically. I'll still ask God to remove every single one and replace it with the opposite. But then I'll say, and you know what, God, I need to work special on these couple, you know, right here. And these are the ones that are creeping up on me lately. So that was really helpful. When my sponsor had shared that with me, that was her experience. And that's what I still do today, to this day. Steps 8 and 9, I will share that, you know, I had some really incredible experiences with 8 and 9. One was a childhood friend that I had made an amends to about something that I kind of dismissed, not thinking it was that big of a deal. And she remembered it, and we went through it, you know, made that amends. And then I asked, was there anything else I did to hurt you? And she ended up sharing the most amazing story about a body image thing. You know, I had said something like, we both have chicken legs because we were both short and stocky. And she shared with me after that, because I had told her the reason I was doing this amends, and I hadn't talked to her in years. The reason I was making amends is I was in a recovery program for Overeaters Anonymous, 12 step. She shared with me that she's been struggling with bulimia all her life. I mean, it was the most incredible 9-step amends I had. And I had no idea that was going to happen. Just the most beautiful blessings that God, and we're still connected now. Like, we still talk now. I gave her some links to some meetings. I mean, it's incredible what God has planned for me, and how I can show up and be useful. When I think of 10, 11, and 12, living in 10, 11, and 12, you know, I am not by any means perfect, but I will say that, you know, the fellowship calls, I still do 3 a day. I still call 3 people every day. Just because I'm recovered, which you all know is a daily reprieve, I stay connected to fellows, still make those 3 phone calls, still do my weight and measure food plan, still text my sponsor, my food, you know, I'm still doing all of that. It doesn't just, you know, go away. But I will tell you this, if you look at page 85 in the big book, it says, we feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. And I feel that way. I can go to weddings and I can see the beautiful cupcake tower and say, oh, it's beautiful. I can see the ice cream bar. Oh, that looks great. You guys enjoy. And I don't want it. I have complete neutrality. And, you know, remember when I was telling you I was crying so hard with my sponsor on the phone during that vacation about the whole measuring spoon thing? I remember crying and saying to her, I'm never going to get it. I'm just never going to get it. And she said, Denise, this isn't something you're going to get. God is going to remove the obsession. God is going to remove it from you. And that was a light bulb moment too. And that's how I feel about being, you know, neutral around food, because God has removed that obsession for me. Now, do I still have selfish behaviors, manipulation here and there? Of course, that's what 10 steps are for, right? That's living life and dealing with life. But God has a plan for that. And we, you know, I do a 10 step, I share it with a fellow, and I move on. And a lot of times I'll share this too, my 10 steps. You know, sometimes I don't think I do enough. And actually I've had a couple recently where my sponsor and I've been talking a little bit more frequently. And she said, you know, Denise, sometimes prayer and meditation gets a little stagnant, right? I'm doing rote prayers. I'm doing a daily viable app that I use. I do some journaling. She said, why don't you try some spiritual reading, you know, enhance it a little bit, because, you know, sometimes we get stagnant in there. And she's right. And I'll tell you, sometimes my 10 steps, I don't think they're 10 steps. And the next morning in my prayer meditation, I'm like, oh no, that's a 10 step. I need to do something about that. You know, I slept on it. It's like, nope. So I'll just share that, you know, my life has changed. I still do those random acts of kindness. You know, I let buses pass in front of me in construction lanes. You know, nobody wants to be behind a bus in the city of Chicago. You know, I do donate, you know, to, I have a few regulars outside my grocery store, and I usually donate to them all the time. And instead of just giving them a dollar or something, I'll actually talk to them. We have conversations. Like, you know, I ask them their name. I ask them where they're from. They do the same for me. And we end up, you know, kind of becoming friendly with each other. I see them every week. So now we talk. And when I call them by name, their face just lights up. Those are little random acts of kindness. You know, they just want to feel like they're somebody, and they are somebody. And it's, you know, if God put me on their path for a reason, right? So those things, staying connected with fellows and sponsoring, I can't not talk about step 12. I mean, that keeps me in the book. That keeps me, you know, accountable. My sponsees, they help me more than they know. I do little nudges with them. They do little nudges with me, you know? So it's really a great relationship, and I'm just so grateful for it. And, I'll tell you, I have a little parable that I like to share, because it just, to me, encompasses the difference of how I feel today versus what I was feeling when I was sitting on that chair at the pool that day. There's a snake and there's a little firefly in the jungle. And the firefly's flying around, right? And the snake's just always trying to eat the firefly. The firefly says to the snake, "Am I a part of your food chain?" And he said, "No." And the firefly says, "Well, then why are you always trying to eat me?" And the snake says, "Because I don't like you shining your light all around the jungle." And I really feel like that's the disease. The disease was keeping me in isolation, keeping me dark. And if anybody's new here, I will just say, you know, come out and live life, right? I hit that life bottom, and I can't tell you how much my life has changed and transformed since then. I am now living a life with purpose. I have, you know, happiness and joy that I have never felt before. And it's all by the grace of God. God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. God has transformed my heart to where I'm being useful and kind to other people. And I really feel blessed today to be of service. I feel like one of those little, a little rescuer, right? God, you know, that whole step 3 reading where, you know, he is the principal. I am God's agent. I'm out there doing God's work. God has a little tool belt on me, and I'm just going out there doing whatever God wants me to do and following direction. And I'm just super grateful to be here and have the opportunity to share that with you. I would love to share a few photos if I have a minute left to do so. So let me try to bring these up. I don't know, can you guys see those photos? Yes? Okay, good. So this is me and my mom. This is right around after I graduated from high school. So like I said, my weight really didn't show much. I don't have a lot of pictures of pregnancy, life with my husband, but I will share that this down here is when I lost all that weight when I was working with that big book Thumper over here. And that you can see is 2012. April of 2012. I had lost all that weight. This is where I thought I arrived when I was carrying the big book on my hip, you know, going to all these OA 12 and 12 book meetings. And I was carrying the big book thinking I knew the big book. Here you can see over here, I started to gain some weight back, right? Starting to come on. And before you know it, here we are. Oops, I went too far. Here we are at a football game. I have to tell you, I tried to hide a lot in pictures. Like I put people in front of me. Sometimes you could just see my head sticking up because I didn't want people to see me, see my body. You just see my head, but here I am, you know, gaining the weight. And here I would say is where I was, you know, around 2015, I'm fully, you know, in my disease. And yeah, here too, this was around 2018, 2019, you know, eating, drinking, that always involved, you know, my binges, a lot of times drink, you know, I'm not an alcoholic, but I would tell you the sugar, if I wasn't eating it, I was drinking it. And then this is me today. I did some back to back. So this was around 2019 as well. And then this is today with my knees. Me and my mom, this again is around 2019 when I was at my heaviest. And then this was me and my mom on Mother's Day. Me and my daughter, again, you know, 2019, and then this was just this past, I would say, a few months ago. So it was sunny out, so it had to be summer. Now it's cold and wintry, but that just gives you an idea of where I was and where I'm at today, and I'm grateful to be here. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Oh, Pat, you're muted.